Once you feel the weight of glory, pain fades to memory. There is much truth in that. Just as we turn into Matthew 5, and remember there was a time I was unemployed for 10 months. And in the midst of that, towards the end of that, I just was on my face and just crying before the Lord. And I remember saying, Lord, I need a job. And in the midst of that, the Holy Spirit says, all you need is me. And then I tell you what, you're talking about a worship service by yourself right there. It's just, all you need is him. I don't know what you're going through today, but all you need is him. All you need is him. All right, in Matthew 5, we're on a journey. If you're a guest with us or you're visiting with us, you hadn't been with us in quite some time, we're on a journey through the Gospels, and we're looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in a chronological way, going through those. And last week, we came to the place where we're beginning the Sermon on the Mount. And so we're going to be in Matthew 5 for however long it takes us to get through Matthew 5. So if you're someone who likes to know where the pastor is going to be and where the study is, we're going to be in Matthew 5 for it could be a couple weeks. I'm not in a hurry to get through the Sermon on the Mount. If you have a red letter Bible, it's all red. it is all red. One of the greatest sermons. And if you're somebody who likes to study, there is so much material on this passage of Scripture that is rich, that is wonderful. I know many of you have the Life Application Bible. You have it in different versions and all, but they have good, concise study material. And there's some great notes, a few charts and things, but today, most of this comes from out of the preacher's outline Bible that I was just like, whoa. I mean, just the material. There's a lot of material you go through when you study. You're like, well, that's junk. You know, this doesn't line up with this or that. And then this is just, wow. And so this, looking again at the Sermon on the Mount, we introduced it last week and introduced it as where Jesus, he sees the crowd. And immediately he plans a huge event, right? No. Immediately what he does is he takes his disciples. Now, other people were there too, but his focus is on his disciples. We saw in Luke where it says that Jesus turned his gaze toward his disciples. There is a huge world need of lostness, and Jesus goes into what he has proclaimed all through Scripture in his last words, where he goes and he begins to pour into his disciples. And still, the mission today is for us to go and make disciples and not huge events and things like that. And so we see Jesus doing this and, again, starts just the greatest sermon that ever preached, I do believe, here. But let's pray, and then we'll get into Matthew 5, verse 3. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, the word starts off today by blessed are. Father, we are blessed to have your word. We are blessed to have the freedom to meet and talk about it. And we are blessed with the fullness of your Holy Spirit to go out and live it. Lord, I pray that you'd open up our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears to that which you have for each of us, Lord, individually and corporately. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here we begin in the Beatitudes, and that word blessed, we looked at that in depth last week, where it's about a spiritual joy and a satisfaction that comes regardless of our situation. That there is a work of God, this blessedness. It doesn't rely on anything that's going on in our life, and nothing in this world that we can create can bring it. It is only through that of God. And so it talks about here about the poor in spirit, and we're going to be focusing on that here for the next few minutes. What is the or who are the poor in spirit? And first I want to look at what is the poor in spirit not? It's not talking about about poverty. It's not talking about, well, it is talking about a spiritual poverty, but it's not talking about being financially poor. It's not talking about, hey, leave here today and sell whatever vehicle you have and get a used bicycle. It's not talking about that. We see in Scripture that God is not pleased with hunger and with nakedness and suffering. It's not that it has to do with a material poverty. And the opposite of the poor in spirit would be a full of self, or maybe a self-righteousness. And so we're looking at here the self-righteousness versus the righteousness of Christ. And self-righteousness can take us no further than where we already are outside of Christ, which is death. So self would be temporary. And what we see here, the reward of those who are poor in spirit, that which is in Christ is forever. It's eternal. And then we see here, but what is the poor in spirit? To be poor in spirit is to acknowledge our utter helplessness before God. And it's talking about our spiritual poverty, our spiritual need. There is nothing that we can do to ever come to a place of salvation outside of the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing. We can't give enough. We can't serve enough in church. We can't be in the church. We can't build a big enough church. We can't have nice enough stained glass windows. There's absolutely nothing. There's not a fancy enough tie to get you into heaven. It's not about membership, but there's absolutely nothing. There's not enough good that we can do in this world to bring us that which only Jesus Christ can bring. And it's a reality that in and of ourselves, we are spiritually broke. We are spiritually poor, and it is only through the grace and the love of God through Jesus Christ that we come into this reward that we'll be talking about here in just a moment. Again, to be poor in spirit is to acknowledge our utter lack of facing an eternity without God. Now, we talk about eternal life, and eternal life is that which is going to be with God forever. And I can't imagine how awesome that is going to be. But sometimes we really don't talk about the eternal death. Those who are not eternally alive, those who are not eternally with Christ forever, they're still going to be in existence of your soul. It's not you're just going to be lights out forever and, you know, sort of live it up today. No, there's going to be a lack of love, a lack of fellowship, a lack of comfort, a lack of everything good. I can't even come up with the words. Just a void of life and utter death that we can't even imagine. We know Scripture does speak about a lake of fire. It's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. There is an existence beyond this life for everybody, and there is going to be a judgment where we are before the Lord, and we are either covered with the blood of Christ, or there is going to be, I knew you not. But before, we will all bow before him and say that Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And so again, this poor in spirit is to acknowledge our lack of him, but it's also to acknowledge our utter lack of superiority before other people, before other human beings, for other people in this world. We are no richer, we are no poorer. There is nothing in us that makes us better than anybody else. We are in the same plight. We may have a different socioeconomic status. We may have different education. We may have a different race. We may have different opportunities. We may have different challenges. It doesn't matter. That there is nothing that is superior in us that is over other people. We are just, without Christ, we are just spiritually, as spiritually dead as the most wealthy man or woman, and as the poorest man or woman. We are the poor in spirit realizes we are nothing outside of the love of our Creator through Jesus Christ. And we can take nothing to eternity except for our soul. And then to be poor in spirit, again, is to acknowledge that every human being, every man and woman is valuable regardless of what they look like, regardless of who they are, that every human life is valuable, either unborn and born, and those that we may think aren't worthy of this or that, but every human is valuable and has something to offer. Those who are poor in spirit, they approach life with humility, with appreciation, with this idea that life owes us nothing. It owes us nothing, and it's a privilege to be on this journey and to be able to contribute in some way through our abilities, through our giftedness, through the mere material things that we have. This is the spiritual poor, a brief outline of what that could be. Again, it's not about your stuff. It's not about you. It's about outside of Christ, we are nothing, or we are something, but it is utterly dark and sad. Next, here we see here that the poor in spirit are those who focus on God and His kingdom. And again, those who are poor in spirit, we turn our attention from our plight, from our wants, from our desires, from our needs, from the things of this world, and when we focus on God, and we focus on Him, because He is the only one that can make us as what we call rich in spirit. Again, there is nothing. We know that everything in this world will pass away, except His word will not pass away. These material things, Scripture calls it, that they will rust and they will rot, and there is nothing that can give us this type of life in this world. Those who are spiritually poor, they turn their attention to God and to His kingdom, and understand and believe the things that He speaks of about His kingdom. I mean, when we think about His kingdom, we think about, I mean, what are some words that he uses mansion and use description of rubies and gold and different things. And I've shared with you before, I shared a sunrise service out here by the crosses, and I read from the New American Standard, and the guy with the King James there, he came and said, you know, my copy of Scripture says mansion, yours said, I don't know, house or building or something. He said, for the way you read it, it could be in a viaduct. You could be under a viaduct in heaven. I'm telling you, under a viaduct in heaven is going to be a good place. It's going to, and I'll take it, brother. Because the whole thing is, when we get there, I got a feeling that we're not going to care about all this other stuff. Used to be a time when I was young, a young Christian, that I'd be thinking, man, my heaven's going to be like on the edge of a lake with mountains around. I'm going to have me a little boat. I'm going to be fishing. You know what? We're not going to care about that stuff. We're going to be in the presence of God. None of that is going to matter at all. Oh, I'm. You know what? A viaduct would be great to be in heaven. But we see here next, the poor in spirit, they turn their attention away from the world and focus on the things of Christ. But the poor in spirit also, they are weary. They are weary and burdened for the lost souls of the world. The poor in spirit are those who have come to realize the truth of Christ, the truth of His word, the truth of forever, the truth of eternal life, and there is a brokenness for lost souls through those who are poor in spirit, and they are weary from labor and trying to reach their generation. Through the way of self preparation, if I may use that word, what I'm talking about that is self worship. Well, let me read. Self worship would be a bad thing, but I'm talking about just individual devotion, where each and every day where we're worshiping God, where we're seeking God and that we are seeking to be full of His Holy Spirit, for the fruits of His Spirit to purge us of the deeds of our flesh, where we're saying, Lord, here I am, what do You have for us today? And that we're in His Word and we're in His Spirit, and there is a working going on beyond us that we could ever imagine or even begin to ask for. The poor in spirit. Again, they're weary, not in a way that they want to give up and quit. Sometimes that is true, though. But they know the truth, and there's a brokenness in the people that pray. We pray for our brothers, for our sisters. We pray for our family. We pray for our friends. We pray for our neighbors, for our coworkers, for our classmates. The poor in spirit know what the reward is, and there is a brokenness, not a, oh, I'm better than them. Oh, don't hang out with them. And sometimes we do have to do that and have to tell our children not to do that. But even in that, like, I know I can't go and participate in that, but Lord, I pray for him. I pray for her and the struggle that they have. Deliver them. The poor in spirit know, and the poor in spirit, again, are pouring themselves out to reach their generation. The poor in spirit are those who labor to make a difference. Maybe it's making a difference again through prayer for loved ones, or even for enemies. Maybe the poor in spirit are those who serve in the ways that God has called them to, not in ways that they've been forced to or been guilted into. Whether it's be in the church, be it in the community, y'all help me with that, with community and. But it is a way where we're pouring ourselves out. We see what a privilege, Lord, You have given us through Your grace. And Father, how can we serve You in some way? Actually, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us and through us. It tells us that we've all been given a gift. And we all have a work to do. Again, the poor in spirit, they're motivated by the love of Christ. If we're doing anything else out of guilt, doing anything else out of pressure, doing anything else because that's what so-and-so is doing or what so-and-so said, then it's in our own strength. But the poor in spirit are those that, again, poor in our spirit but rich in His Spirit, are those where the Holy Spirit and the love of God is working through us in ways, again, that we will not know the results of those until we get into heaven. And then we see that the poor in spirit, they receive a reward. And we all like rewards, don't we? And especially those that matter. Here we live in a culture where everybody gets one, regardless if they do, just for showing up sometimes. But here, the poor in spirit receive a reward is what we find in Matthew 5:3. Listen to some of these rewards. First, we'll receive the forgiveness of sin and assurance. Let's look at Hebrews 8. It's going to be all beyond the board if you don't want to turn there real fast. Definitely write it down and check us out. But in Hebrews 8:12, it says he's writing about a promise that God spoke through Jeremiah the prophet. He says, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more." So this assurance comes through faith in Christ. Now this forgiveness of sin and this assurance isn't because of a moment. It is because of a lifetime, every day. And you know, our journey of sanctification, it may sometimes look like the stock market, where there's days we drop and days we climb and days we go. But it is always a pursuit of the living God. Next, a reward for the poor in spirit is receive the fellowship with other believers. Let's look at Acts 2. We should be familiar with this. I love this portion of Scripture. It's a great example of who we hope to be. But in Acts 2, verse 42, talking about the early church here, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. There's more to it, in fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Now look at this. Apostles' teaching never was about the apostle, but it was always about the word of God. But then we get to this word of fellowship. And it's a word that it means koinonia, or that is the actual word. And it's talking about life on life true fellowship. Imagine for the poor in spirit, a gift that we have based on that scripture is wine another. You right here, a gift over here is these folks and a gift to these folks. And so all of us, we are a gift to each other. And we're going to, for those of us who are poor in spirit, who have come to the place where we believe that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and we live to that high expectation and that high call each, every day, we're going to be together forever. And I come around to this. This gets to be a soapbox, and I don't mean for it to be today, but there is so much more than our spiritual journey than just gathering in this building once a week. Oh, there's fellowship with one another. I need you. You need me in some way, and we all need each other. We are the body of Christ. But to receive fellowship, what a reward. We're a reward. You're a reward, because Christ in you is actually the reward. And then next we see that reward is that they receive the gift of life that is forever in his kingdom. Now imagine forever in his kingdom, a fellowship with God, again, where everything that we could imagine that is good in this earth will not matter anymore, because we'll be focused on Christ and Christ alone. And in the presence of God, and this, I just can't imagine the amazement that day will be, that eternity will be. But we also see what I just talked about, the eternal fellowship with the congregation of the world. I mean, or that are poor in spirit. Imagine, again, it comes back to us, fellowship with God, and then love for one another. Where are we going to start that today? How are we going to start that today? Look at how Satan attacks so many churches across our country, across our community. We're just praying for folks right over here Wednesday night, of just different challenges that churches are facing, because there's a small handful that can rise up and make a stink of everything. The enemy comes against the fellowship of the church, and where the church is not in one accord, then the world doesn't know that God loves them and sent Jesus Christ his son for them. Oh, the fellowship is so valuable. But then let's look at a few verses. Let's look at John. Let's look at John 5:24. Again, it'll be on the board, or you can turn with me quickly, or you can write it down and check us later. But listen to what Jesus says in John 5:24. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of," listen to this, "but has passed out of death into life." We have received an eternal reward. And then Romans 5, or 8, 8, 15 through 17. It says in verse 15 through 17, he says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, listen to this, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption. Imagine this. As sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, and the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Wow, for those who are poor in spirit, the reward is that we are children of God. And it said fellow heirs with Christ. Doesn't that blow your mind? Imagine fellow heirs with Christ. Who are we to deserve anything that Christ would ever receive as an heir, as an inheritance? But the scripture says we are fellow heirs with Christ, because it is by his blood that we are washed, that we are made clean, by the faith that we have in him, that we can be called children of God. What a reward. But then it says right in here, at the end, if we indeed suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. Oh, there's so much more than just being a member of a church. There's a daily, the poor in spirit, again, going back to who we are, realizing the reality of Christ and the reality of His grace, the reality of what He has saved us from, the reality of the life that we experience is because of His love, and that the lostness of the world is that, yes, to guard from, but also to actively seek, to pray for, to be a part of, to pour into in some way, and then to live in, backing up some here, if indeed we suffer with Him, is to live for Him each and every day. We're at the end of this in Matthew 7. We're going to see a part where He's going to say, there are some of you that are going to come before Me, and He's going to say, depart from Me, because I know you not. And then they're going to be saying, Lord, Lord. But imagine that. We've lived a life thinking that we're something when we're really not, because we don't have that relationship with Christ. There isn't a poverty in the spirit where we realize that God is everything, and it's only through Christ, and we have a contribution to make in this world through the Holy Spirit and how He wants to work through us. And here it talks about, it says, if indeed we suffer with Him, that means that we live like Jesus Christ, essentially, to put that into a nutshell. And friend, when we leave this place, how are we living? Are we living for Jesus Christ? Would the people in your workplace be surprised that you were a follower of Christ? Would the people in your neighborhood, would the people driving behind you know that you are a follower of Christ? I tell you, there is a high expectation to the living God. Yeah, we're going to fail. I'm talking about we can't go in our own strength and be perfect, but there's a high expectation of seeking God, seeking Him in His Word, and then living according to His Word. And when we do fail, we confess that, and we repent, and we get up, and we try again. Oh, the poor in spirit, realizing who we're not, who we can never be. If there's anything in us, it is only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And with this salvation, we become a part of a mission of going and making disciples. And that's often starts in the way we begin our day by ourselves, and then how we show the love of Christ each and every day in every situation. Whether it be with a waitress that just spilt a glass of tea, whether it be in whatever situation, may we be among the poor in spirit. Big idea. It's simple. There's nothing to be added to it. Jesus spoke it so clearly. But the poor in spirit will receive the kingdom of God. So I leave you today as we wrap it up. What about you? Maybe today we've read some scriptures, some words of Jesus Christ, and you come to realize that maybe you are not poor in spirit. Maybe you have not come to place. Maybe you know everything about religion. Maybe you've been a part of the church. You got the tie and the coat and everything that goes with it, and the shiny shoes and whatever that matters. And you got this understanding of what religion is and what Christianity is, but you really realize that you are not poor in spirit, that you are rich in self, and that self, you've come to realize today, that self cannot take you past death. It can't. Self-righteousness is brokenness still. Maybe you've come to a place and you're visiting a church for the first time and you've been hurt somewhere, and you've been challenged, and Christ is calling you to healing. Maybe you've been of the church and you know this is true. You know the things of Christ. You know the high expectations of His Word, but you need to come to a place of needing to repent and to return to the Lord. You can come up here and you can talk to me today, or you can just simply repent to Him and begin opening up your Word each and every day, or His Word each and every day, and begin living for Him. Maybe it's time for some of us to get serious and live according to the high expectations of our Lord and our Savior. Again, not that our living up to it in our works is that which brings us salvation, but it's His love and the grace of Christ and the blood of Christ that washes away our sins. And because we have come to the place that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, souls, and strength and mind, and we love other people as we love ourselves, that we want to serve Him. We want to pursue him. We want to seek him. We want to absorb his word. We want to live his word. We want to love other people. And saying that, I just in that scripture, love ourselves. Maybe you're in a place where somewhere down the road you messed up. You messed up. You're a follower of Christ. You know everything about Jesus, but you messed up. You messed up big. You messed up big with it. Maybe you're afraid the church would judge you or whatsoever. But you know what? And you can't love others. And you have a problem loving God because you can't forgive yourself. I challenge you today to forgive yourself and take that to the Lord. Maybe you're one who is, you're serving. You're serving each and every day. You are poor in spirit. You would be a great example of what Jesus is talking about here. And you give, you give, you give, you give, and you just don't see the fruits of your labor. Friend, I would tell you, just don't give up. Your reward doesn't come in this side. Every now and again, it might be a pat on the back or a kudos or you see something, but your reward is waiting in heaven. And then for all of us, for most of us, who this is probably everything I've said is nothing new. You've heard it in a sermon here or there. And there's something that I do with my students, with little, you're trying to engage with 40 different kids throughout the day. And I, you know, teaching math or whatever, I'll ask them. I'll say, okay, show me where you're at. And they know what that means. This, I don't have a clue. Two, I'm coming all on board. I need a little bit more help. And three is I got it. I understand. And if I see a four, they're saying, hey, I got it, and I can help somebody else with it. I can teach it. A lot of us are here. We think we're here. But really, most of us are probably here. But Christ expects those who are poor in spirit to all be here. That, hey, I got it. Maybe it's not everything, but you got something, and we need to go share it. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, your word says the poor in spirit, they will receive the reward of the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, for most of us, we find descriptions of that in scripture here and there. But Lord, we know from reading your word that we can't even comprehend what you have ready for us. But Lord, I pray that you would bring us to be in a place where we love you, that we love others, and Lord, that Lord, we just seek you in such a way to where you just, as we read in Ephesians 3, that Lord, through our faith, through your presence, through your love, through the fellowship of your Holy Spirit, that you just fill us to a fullness of you, to a place of overflowing, and that you work in this life. Father, for those of us that are weary, we've given, we've given, we've served, we've served, we've served, we've served, we've served, and we looked around for other people to serve, and nobody steps up, so we keep serving, serving, serving. Lord, I pray that you would fill our tanks and help us to continue serving, because we know our reward, Lord, is not in this place, is not in this world, but is with you in your kingdom, and may you be glorified, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.